Welcome to Linux Link Radio by TimeSys, a podcast for embedded Linux developers.
Hi, welcome to this, every other week's podcast. This is Gene Sally, and I'm here with Maciej Halasz.
Hello.
I know we're talking about tools. You've been suffering through the last couple podcasts about the topic, but Maciej was out last week at, or no, this week in ESC in Boston.
Came back yesterday, and today we would like to actually talk a bit about ESC, Embedded Systems Conference show in Boston, and
now you were booth babe there.
I was.
So you were
guilty as charged.
Yeah, you were a booth babe, and so I know you didn't get hit a lot of the educational things, but or did you sneak out? Did you sneak away?
No. Didn't get the chance to go to any of the sessions.
But, they tether you to the booth. I don't know if people are aware of that.
Well, but that was the whole goal, right?
Yeah,
basically meet people, talk about specific technologies, and also take a look at what's going on in the embedded world. And the best opportunity in the United States are Embedded Systems Conference shows. And there's one on the West Coast and one on the East Coast.
Well, I've been to ESC West, I don't know how many times, countless times, maybe up to four, I don't know, five or whatever. And but I've never been to the one in Boston. For whatever reason, I just don't get to go there. So where was it?
So the show was at the Heinz Convention Center. And I actually encountered different pronunciations of a name up for that center. So it's Heinz Center.
Just I thought like it's
Haynes. It's Heinz. So just for Pittsburgher, that should sound very familiar, right?
Yeah. But does it end in Z?
S.
So they misspelled it too.
Anyways. So the show was in the Heinz Center, and it's been there for the past few years. I attended that conference in Boston, I think 3 or 4 years in a row.
Yeah.
And I got to say that the show actually is growing in numbers.
There
are more companies coming and showing their technology. Or maybe it's just that the companies change or rotate because I haven't seen some of the other companies that I was expecting to see.
Okay. So you were... Tell me about your booth babing experience.
Oh, right. Yes. I was invited to participate in the Atmel's booth. Atmel is one of our semiconductor partners.
Yeah.
And together we were showing capabilities of Linux Link on Atmel processors.
Yeah.
Or microcontrollers, should I say. And those were based on ARM9. And Atmel manufactures very nice reference kits. We had one of the reference kits attached to a specific board. We were showing a nice little graphics-based demonstration of Linux capabilities on Atmel platform.
Oh, cool!
And the entire demonstration was built with Linux Link.
Yeah, did we drive the display and all that other?
Oh yeah, it was a very cool demo because the board has a touchscreen and a very sharp 320 by 240, I believe, LCD display.
Uh-huh.
And so we were able to show various movie trailers, photos. I had actually a few people that stopped by and played some games on it.
Oh, so is this the board that the guys had in the office? They had Tetris running on, but they figured out how to get it to run with the pen?
With the touchscreen, yes.
Yeah, I made sure I tested that. I did an endurance test on that, at least 4 or 5 hours.
I think that there will be a webinar of some sort that we'll talk about how you can use Linux Link to build something similar.
Yeah, I'm on the hook to do that.
You are?
Yeah.
There you go.
So, yeah, maybe we'll use that too. I'll do an endurance test to make sure it can really play a 2-hour movie or something. So that's pretty cool.
You can actually choose your own movie if you like.
Well, you got to watch the whole thing because in case it skips or anything like that. I mean, right?
You can't skip.
Yeah, you can't. Yes, so you got to watch. You got to pay attention to that and nothing else. You can't do email.
Yeah.
You can eat popcorn, though. A snack. You can do that at the same time.
Yeah. Well, the demo comes with the sound, so you can look and
hook up the headphones.
Yeah, you can.
Oh yes.
Hook up the headphones, or you can hook up powered speakers and get a home theater on the embedded board.
So you saw? Did you see a lot of other Linux activity? Because one of the things about the ESC show is it's embedded, you know, systems conference in general. So you see, you know, there's you know, the years I go there, it's fairly hardware oriented. And is that what it was like this year? Was it fairly hardware?
It was, actually. And I was walking around the show floor trying to see which of the Linux vendors are present there. And there were not that many of Linux vendors displaying their products at the show. I found actually only one company that had their own booth. Well, TimeSys didn't have booth either, but we were at the partners' booths. Well, there were a lot of semi companies. a lot of board manufacturers. And those companies, they actually do have Linux running on their cards, right? But
okay.
they usually do that in-house just to, it's a very limited functionality or something that end user would have some difficulty in using that for the custom projects. But you know, those packages are designed in such a way that they show in some way the capabilities of the hardware. Yeah. And Linux can show that off very nicely.
Oh, really cool. That's so it is, because I know the ones in you see over West Coast, there's a fairly large, you know, software presence. And there's an extremely large Linux presence. So that's sort of odd that you ran in that situation.
Well, so maybe I exaggerate when I say that it was dominated by hardware vendors, but there were, of course, a lot of software vendors. There were a lot of companies that manufacture certain specific software for, let's say, middleware applications where you need certain specifications or standards or certification. That's the requirement for most of those spaces, and of course those companies were there.
Yeah. So was the company there that handed out the monkeys? There's one company, no matter what embedded show you go to, they hand out the monkeys.
No, not this time. The
the thing, I never get one. I'll go and ask it, like, no, we're out. They have a big box behind them. You can see like the monkey arms and stuff stick out. No, we're out.
And you're asking us that question, why?
So I've never, because but they weren't there. I don't know.
There were a couple of like Intel, for example, they have this theme that actually they started at the West Coast Embedded Systems Conference show, I think.
Okay.
They had like a chopper built by the guys that have a program on TV.
Oh, with the scary mustaches and tattoos?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially
that looks like my son's football coach. the one that's not a prison guard.
But he's not building the choppers, I bet.
I don't know about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was there. Size-wise, of course, the exposition itself is probably half square footage than the one in San Jose.
But
it was pretty densely packed. So as far as traffic is concerned, there was a lot of people.
So the people you talk to, I know this is supposed to be the Embedded Linux podcast, not the Embedded Linux Swag podcast. But so the people you talk to, what kind of feelings did you get about them in terms of their interest in Linux? And one of the things that you have to deal with as a company is you have to sell people on Linux at one point. And so is that still a barrier you're running into? Or people you talk to me like, well, I don't know about this Linux thing. And
that's a very good question, because over time in the past, actually, we had to face that situation where customer, it was a barrier of entry, right?
Yeah.
You had to explain to customer what Linux is before they even started thinking about it.
Yeah.
At this show, most, if not all, of the customers that I spoke to, people that visited my stand, they knew what Linux is, and they were actually already looking to use Linux in their project, or they were thinking about possibility of using it in a next generation of already existing products.
Oh, cool! So it was like on their radar, and
it was definitely on their radar. Most of visitors had their own teams, Linux.
Yeah.
Not necessarily Linux teams, because I spoke to people that developed under different OSs, and they were looking at Linux as a substitution or next generation of for the product, which. You know, various Linux demos were proving that Linux is ready for those kind of applications.
Oh, that's really cool. Because I know that was always a problem. And
yes. And well, some of people, visitors that I spoke to are our listeners.
I'm sorry.
So thank you very much for staying with us and listening to us talk.
You mean
here.
Both of them were in Boston? So I wonder, because we get, what, like 2 downloads a week, I think, is what we're up to now?
No. The numbers are really very good.
So they both went to Boston.
I'm very happy that our group of base of listeners is growing from week to week.
Doubled. Got four.
Doubled. Yeah.
So
hopefully we're not boring you yet.
Yeah. So you know what? The other thing I wanted to sort of pick up is the processors you saw. Like, I know you said the processor companies were out there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see like a Linux? You said all of them had sort of Linux running. But you know, when you talked and you looked around, did you find some that were that? You know, seem to be more Linux focused than others, or did you find vendors that were, you know, more Linux focused, or not really? Or did they stay away from their operating system? They still try in that sort of mode where they sort of stay away from the OS.
I haven't actually looked at different vendors from that perspective to that lens, but I'm thinking right now that in most cases, all semis had various different operating systems in the in their booth.
Yeah.
So they were showing off the features of their hardware running different solutions, different operating systems. And that goes along with, you know, the demand that they see in the marketplace, right? There are certain applications that have certain requirements that different OSs suit better than the others.
Yeah. Because I know one of the with our Atmel partnership, one of the things that people really are keying into is that it drives all the devices on that on that chip, you know, fantastically, and that's why there's a lot of interest. But you know, and I know when first going to these EAC shows, and there's still a lot of guys out there like, well, I can't run on my 8-bit microcontroller, therefore I have no interest in Linux. And
right. Well, and at the Atmel booth, Atmel has a very wide family of different microcontrollers, and not only microcontrollers but also different products.
Yeah.
And as you can imagine, there were different demo pods. So, yeah. Atmel was showing the entire family of products, ranging from RFIDs to the newest additions to the microcontrollers family, a product called 1891 CAP CAP.
Yeah.
That has, next to the ARM core, it's got also an FPGA.
Oh, wow.
So that looks very promising. There were, of course, ARM9 products and then some other tools.
Yeah.
GPS. Presence there as well.
Were there a lot of the? I know one of the main impressions I get from the show out west is that there's a lot of people that are selling the, you know, mini XT boards or the, you know, the tiny x86 boards. Do you see?
Yeah, a lot of board vendors.
A lot of those guys out there.
And I saw actually a lot of companies that I expected to see at this show. But as with every industry, there are different partnerships that have forced over the past year.
Yeah.
So there are some new entrants to this marketplace.
Yeah.
And this is great because those boards get smaller, they get cheaper, and more powerful.
Yeah, because I know the mini ITX boards are really getting into the you know, have fun with them range. You can get you know, try to cluster them. I mean, really, they're down to, you know, $50 a pop, and they don't consume that much power. You can get a standard power supply and power up maybe 4 or 5 of them off of one.
I'm finding that you just mentioned power, because a lot of visitors have asked me about power management in Linux.
Oh, interesting.
So we should probably think about having a dedicated series of, or at least one podcast on power saving in embedded systems.
Yeah, because I know there's a couple of different angles to approach that from, right? I mean, first the hardware guys, you know, I don't mean to branch too much off in the wood here, but I mean, the hardware guys get in there, and the first thing they do is they decrease the component count, right? And they decrease the, you know, amount of solder on the board, and then they want to push for a lower clock cycle, so they don't have to keep that going. And
right, and different architectures really do consume different amounts of power.
Yeah.
Right? So all those pieces come to play when you start thinking about your next processor board project that would, you know, be kind of like a cell phone or a PDA or an MP3 player that has a battery with limited power, and you want to conserve that energy as much as you can, right?
Yeah. And then, you know, even on Linux side, right? So then that's on the hardware side. Then on the software side, it's the same thing. You have different sort of constraints, and, you know, and without getting too much in the topic, but you have an entire system where you can put parts of your software to sleep in order to save clock cycles and in order to save power.
Yeah, so let's leave that topic for the next time, and we'll have to make sure that we put that on our schedule to
on
talk
the queue.
About right, so we're talking about the power.
Yeah, you said a lot of one of the focuses that you saw were people that were interested in power conserving devices. And you're even seeing people that do the single boards that are optimized. That's how they're one of the things that they're doing in order to sell their boards.
Yeah. So as far as different processors or architectures are concerned, I think that I've seen all of them. I've seen ARMs. I've seen PowerPCs. Yeah. I've seen, of course, Pentium class processors.
Sure.
MIPSes. I've even SHs. Right.
Yeah.
All of those architectures were very clearly present at the show.
Represented, and that was a little bit of a theme, you noticed, the power consumption theme. Yeah. Yeah, I know when you get into mobile devices, not only the batteries, they're big, they're heavy, and they're sometimes the most expensive unit inside of one of those devices, so that's not surprising.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yep. Right, so other than that, the show, well, was... I'm very tired, as you can imagine, after 2 days of talking to people, and it's just kind of like a continuous thing, but it was a great experience just to talk to people, finding out what's happening in the embedded space, and
cool.
What customers are looking for.
Yeah.
and I'm looking forward to next year.
Cool. So, well, you know what? You don't have to wait till next year, right? In theory, I mean, you have to wait next year to go back to Boston, but hopefully this year we'll get around to going to the one in San Jose.
Yeah, there's one in San Jose in the spring, I believe. Yeah. It's kind of like April time frame.
Yeah, yes.
But then there are other shows in between, so I'm sure that we'll go to a few of those as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one in San Jose used to be in San Francisco, mm-hmm. and I liked it much better in San Francisco because the restaurants were much better. It was the first thing, right? No, seriously, there were a lot great. There were some great Indian places to eat. So I mean, I sort of miss it. It's out in San Jose, which isn't quite as good stomach wise.
With San Jose, I always have problem with getting the room at the hotel because they're all sold out by the time I sign up.
Yeah, and you know what the other thing too is that one of the things I love about San Francisco is you get to walk around and it's a nice walk because you can stay right in downtown and you have a nice walk back and forth in the morning and the evening.
Well, it's in San Jose, so. Don't think we'll be able to change that.
Yep.
But
okay.
Nice segue. Sorry for bothering you probably a bit with this week's podcast. It's kind of like off of our usual scheduled series of topics.
Yeah.
We'll continue on a topic of tools probably, or we'll jump directly to power management next.
No. I know I got preemptive of this, but I do have a couple things in my book to talk about for tools. At least I have two or three podcasts I want to nail down for tools yet. So
okay, so
like it or not, that's what we're doing.
So you heard that.
Okay.
Two or three podcasts on tools.
Yeah.
But if you have any questions, please contact us. Feel free to send us an email at podcast@timesys.com. Thank you very much for all the feedback you've provided us with so far. It's been very helpful.
Yeah, we get a lot of feedback, and I really appreciate it. Matter of fact, there's one that we got back from someone we talked about, and it's too difficult to go into. They talked about some of the real-time things we discussed. And that, you know, that was a really nifty one.
Yeah.
But we get feedback of all sorts. Just love to hear it. Again, it's podcast@timesys.com. Feel free to drop us a line anytime.
Great. Thanks a lot.
See you again.
This podcast was brought to you by Timesys. Are you new to embedded Linux or looking for a way to simplify your next project? The Linux Link service by Timesys makes it easy to build your custom embedded Linux platform. Go to timesys.com or call 866-392-4897 to learn more.